Hello, everyone. Good to see everybody again. Obviously, it's a start for us, phase one. We started today with our players. Obviously, we're extremely excited as coaches, as an organization, you know, when the players start coming back into this building. Even though you're limited to do a lot of things, and obviously we all know it's voluntary, it's great to see the players back. You know, knowing that we do have a lot of hard work ahead of us, obviously coming off a disappointing season last year. So, again, we look forward to that hard work. I talked to the team. I talked to the organization today. You know, and we talked to them about our theme is just getting better every day. And I think that's important as we go through these days and through these phases, that we continue to go do that so that we can field a better football team that can accomplish what our goals will be going into this 2014 season.
Do you expect to have full attendance today?
I am aware of everybody, you know, so I'm aware of everyone that's here. I'm aware of the issues that have come up. I don't really check it. Like, in other words, we don't sit down and say that because it is voluntary, and we appreciate the players that are here and understand, you know, if the players have other commitments and they can't get there. But obviously I'm very happy, extremely happy, you know, with the players that are present today.
I know when you said our theme is getting better and better every day, I know that applies to everybody from the coaches on down. How integral, though, is the position at quarterback and E.J. Manuel getting better after some inconsistencies last year?
Sure. I think it's like all the other players. I mean, there has been, you know, everyone has inconsistencies, you know, in what they do, and they can work on it. So, you know, as far as E.J., I mean, you know, you look at our situation, you know, last year at this time, you know, when we first started a phase one, really none of the quarterbacks that played for us were even in the building. You know, and now all of a sudden we have quarterbacks, you know, that have played, that are in the building. We have EJ who has experience coming back, and we're excited about that. You know, that's probably a big, that's a big relief, I should say. You know, when the unknown of not knowing what it's going to be like when a player goes into his first NFL game and plays, you know, to a point now where we have some experience. Granted, it's not a lot of experience. I understand that. But at least we've seen him in those situations, and that's what gets us excited.
How much of a difference do you think that can make from his view? Just the familiarity, you know, he knows where the bathroom is, he knows what the offense is, he knows what the guard does, he knows, you know, all that stuff.
I think, you know, not just for EJ, but all the other, I was going to say freshmen, but rookies, you know, that come in. I think it's important because when you look at what they've gone through, the same with the class that's coming up with this draft, you know, you go through a college season. You know, you're picking who your agent is going to be. You're picking out maybe where you're going to work out. You immediately go right into this training program. You might have a couple of all-star games. You know, then you're prepping for this draft. And then, you know, obviously it's the first time everything's being scrutinized. There's really an uncertainty, you know, in your, you know, your destination of where it's going to be. And all of a sudden you're drafted by a team. You're on a new team. It's a new system. I think it's very could be potentially very overwhelming, you know, for some players, you know, as they go through it. When you look at the players now, I think what you said is correct. You know, they know most of the players on the team right now. I believe we have 75 players. You know, that's quite a bit. You know, when you look around the league that are here with us now, you know, most of those players were on the team last year, so they do know each other. They do know where things are. They do know how we do things. So I think that helps in the progression of getting better.
What's the timeline on when EJ will be 100% healthy, or is he there already?
Yeah, I'm going to discuss. I talked to Scott about this, and the doctors have gotten in, and they're seeing all the players and things like that. I'm going to discuss all the injury situations and everything when we start with OTAs of who's available and who's not. But you know, he's been working at least on his own from what he told me. I have not seen him. I'm not allowed to watch them yet.
What would you say? Rough ballpark percentage of the number of players here on the roster.
The players here,
yeah,
right, I mean, now in the building?
Yeah, 75, or what a percentage of players are here.
Yeah. In the high 90s. And the players that aren't, again, I've been in contact with.
Can you tell me a little bit
about... We'll be at 100% shortly. You know, what happens, guys, is a legitimate thing. You know, people have babies, things like that. You know, we understand it. And again, you know, we always have to remember it. I think it's important. You know, and I especially would appreciate this. This is an important point for me to make sure that we understand that, you can help me in this way. When we do talk about this phase, it's very important, you know, for our organization, you know, because of the CBA and the rules that we always keep saying, and if you can say this, I would appreciate it, it's a voluntary period. It's very, very important. You know, if someone writes something in this room that assumes that we're not looking at this phase as non-voluntary, okay, that can cause, you know, people to look into what we're doing. And obviously we are obeying all the rules. So I appreciate that.
Doug, tell us what we need to know about Spikes. And he, you know, he's got a little bite to his personality. He's got a lot of bite to his game. What is it about him that you wanted, you needed?
Well, I think you just mentioned it. I think he's a physical football player. You know, he's been very good against the run. And, you know, obviously we've been here for a year and we didn't do as good of a job as we need to, you know, going forward, stopping the run. So I think that, you know, bringing in someone like Brandon Spikes gives us the ability to help us solve that problem.
How about externally, you know, I guess, you know, chemistry-wise, personality-wise, those types of things?
I like his personality. I have no issues at all with his personality. You know, I have, you know, we spent a lot of time together, you know, both of us, to make sure it was a good fit. We do that, you know, with all of the players that come in here. You know, they'll sit down with myself, not just myself, but obviously Doug Whaley, Russ Brandon, Jim Manos, the coaches. You know, we want to make sure that we're around the player quite a bit so we can look into it. So, you know, it's a good fit for both of us.
What do you like about him? Like, you know, I don't know the guy. So, I, you know what I mean? Take us in a little bit if you can. Like, is he funny? Does he garden? You know, what's...
Yeah, he's won. I mean, he's won. I mean, he's won at Florida when he went to Florida. He won at, you know, New England when he was at New England. You know, he's a physical player that plays, you know, in a physical game. I think that he's emotional. And I like that. I like that about him. I mean, he's... You know, he's fired up. You know, he's fired up to be here today. He's fired up to help our football team. I think from all his actions right now, those are all the actions you want all of our players coming into this program to have.
Do you like the way – do you have any issue? I'm not sure if you're aware of how he's engaged fans on his Twitter account and in social media, almost to the point of antagonizing New England Patriots fans and tweeting things about his former team, saying it's going to be like Christmas to hand the Patriots and Patriots Nations an L twice. Is that something that you are aware of and have any issues with?
Well, that's the first time I know exactly what was said. Someone did mention something of that issue. Those are the first time I've heard the words. You know, but again, I wasn't there, you know, when he was there. I think in social media, all social media, even for at home with my children. I think, you know, my sense of is to make sure that everyone has a sense of responsibility to how they use it and what they say. You know, obviously we live in a democratic society where, you know, free speech, obviously you would know better than anyone, you know, of what we have. So I don't have any issues when players say what they believe and what they really feel that's in their heart, as long as it's, you know, being productive for, you know, the team.
How does it work during this phase with meeting time with coaches? Do they spend part of their 4 hours a year, you know, in a meeting room? Do they have their playbook?
Absolutely, they do. They spend, you know, a lot of their time, obviously, is you know, with the lifting and the running, which we're not a part of, nor can we look at or view or work with or be in a weight room. And then, you know, we'll probably about have an hour and 20 minutes of meetings. And there's breaks, obviously, in there to go. The players will have their iPads. And what we're doing is basically putting in the foundation of the systems, you know, offense and defense. We start with that with phase one, and then when phase two comes in, we'll start implementing you know, the special teams, and we'll actually start going on the field with our players and work with them on an individual basis.
Where are you at with quarterbacks? A year ago or so, you brought in Kevin Cobb to serve as a veteran experienced guy. Where are you with the quarterback depth at this point with Tool and Thad Lewis?
Yeah. I'm happy with the depth of where we are now with our quarterback situation, but at the same time, you know, I don't think that limits us to keeping all of our options open, you know, if we wanted to upgrade some of those situations.
How significant is it and how valuable do you think it was for EJ to get those groups together, those little groups, one in California, one in Florida, little throwing camps that he had over the last couple of weeks?
I think it's good. I give him credit, you know, the players for getting together and trying to get better. I think it shows the, you know, the commitment, you know, that they have to get us back to where we want to be.
With
Since week seven with Mike Williams, you brought in a couple of players who have had pretty well-documented issues off the field. In general, why is this organization comfortable bringing in guys like that who are perceived, you know, risks, I guess?
I think, you know, perceived is something that, you know, the word that you've said, but I can understand that, you know, why they would perceive that. And I think that, you know, I believe in giving people chances, and, you know, they have a chance to come in here and it's a clean slate, and they have a chance to prove that, you know, they're on the right track.
Are there risks in your mind to bringing those?
I think there's risks with anyone, you know, that you bring in, you know, any player, any coach, anyone you bring in any organization. You know, I think there's an amount of risk that you take. So, you know, with those players there, again, I go back to the same thing. They, you know, it's a clean slate for them. Mike Williams is from here. He has an opportunity to live a dream. I mean, he's been a Buffalo Bills fan his whole life. He can come to his hometown and help this organization get back to where it should be and get to the playoffs for the first time in 14 years. You know, Brandon Spikes, you know, can come back here. Start his career, wants to be a three-down backer. He's going to work extremely hard towards that, and he has a physical presence, and he feels that he can help us win. Those are the type of players that we want. Obviously, everyone on our team understands how they should act and what they should do. We talk to them about what it's like to be in the NFL, and there are a lot of rules and regulations from the NFL, you know, on how the players should behave.
Coach, is Mike one of the players that is here that will be taking part in the afternoon session?
Yeah, he's here.
How much of a challenge this offseason, a lot of stuff is happening from the passing of Mr. Wilson, the sale of the organization, how much of a challenge has it been for you to focus?
Well, I think it's a lot of things. You know, I talked to we talked today about, you know, one of the things that I've always talked to the coaches and the players about is to make sure that you learn or you understand that, you know, control what you can control. And I think that's important. Obviously, I stand here. I can't, you know, I pain for a lot of the people, you know, that have put their heart and soul in this organization. And obviously, with the threat of the team, you know, not a threat, you know, with the team being sold, you know, going to be sold. You know, these people have put their heart and soul in it, have been locked into community. Our careers as players and coaches sometimes are, you know, short-lived. You know, we understand that we may be someplace for a couple of years and then move on to a different team, a different location. You know, but the people in this building, you know, the sacrifices they've made, the commitment, you know, the extra time that they've put in, you know, is obviously an identity for them that goes beyond just a paycheck. So, you know, for us, we understand that we have to go out there and win, and that's what our focus is, and that's what our mission is. And if we can do that, then obviously, and focus our attention on that, and the things we can control, I can guarantee you we'll win more games this year. If we don't and we start thinking about the things that we can't control and get sidetracked, then that will lose our focus and that will hurt us in winning football games.
The subject of, you mentioned it, 14 seasons without the playoffs. Was that part of your message to the players as a reminder today?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, John. Absolutely.
Just how important is it? It's obviously important.
I mean, yeah.
But 14 seasons is a long time. I just the message and the focus that needs to, I guess, end.
Yes, and it's been put out a high priority for us. I mean, it really has. I mean, that's what it is. And then you have to get everyone on the same line. Everyone has to understand it's about winning. You know, a lot of times we think of our roles as, you know, my role is to coach the team. You know, sometimes some roles are, you know, to play offensive guard or to play corner, you know, or PR or, you know, selling tickets or doing that. But I told everyone, you know, what we need to put on top of that, you know, job description, you know, is win, you know, and that's what we have to do. And I think when that's at the top of your job description, I think then you can hold everyone more accountable, you know, saying you can push each other, you can develop a trust and respect, all right, which gives you the ability to get better each and every day. And that's what we're trying to get accomplished.
Just off the beaten path for a second.
Sure.
I'm sure you don't pay attention to a lot of the draft gurus, and I kind of take them with a grain of salt myself. You have your own gurus. You don't need them. But
you call him Doug a guru?
Sure. Why not? He better be.
Let's go. Let's label him.
He's going to be an ex-guru.
Yep, exactly.
But, you know, when you look at guys, you see stock soaring, falling, going all over the place when a guy has not played a down in 3 months.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, please, your thoughts on the craziness.
I always just go back to the film and put down what for me, and you have to remember it's interesting how misunderstood, I believe, a lot of, how the draft works. I know there's a movie out. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe that can – I don't know. Has anyone seen that movie, honestly?
No.
Have you seen it? And does it give a good – does it give a good description?
I have an answer, but I won't say it right now.
You'd be poor up here at the podium right now. obviously, but my role in it is, hey, I get a chance to have – I'm part of the process. I get a chance to write a player up, okay? I'm only going to look at what I see on film and want to write that player up, and that's it. I think that's it. As far as everything else, I don't really follow the ups and the downs, because I think Doug can give you a better answer of that. But, as a coach, to me, if I needed a player or wanted a player as a coach, what do I care where I pick him? But I think that when it comes down to the picks of, is he worthy of being number 9? Is he worthy of being number 1? Is he worthy of being 15? Oh, you'd rather take this player at, 18 rather than 9. I mean, Kiko Alonso played every single snap for us. We took him in the second round. What would have happened if we would have took him in the first round, right, on our first pick? Everyone here would be like, well, that's pretty good. Yeah. But back then, whatever you're saying, what the heck are they doing? This guy's a second round. So I can't answer that question. I look at it sometimes and I just smile.
It's mind-boggling, because there are players. You would think that, when Brady gets taken 199, that at some point people would be able to tune all this stuff out. Russell Wilson, we can talk for an hour about guys that were taken out of where you would expect, that were stars or...
An hour is really cheating. We could really sit here for all day. And that's what's amazing about, talk radio and all those things. It's like what Murph's radio show. People have radio shows. They can talk. I'll never forget, when I used to recruit in New York City, Francesca at the time was on the radio. So he'd be on for a long period of time. So we're driving around all these schools and you get stuck in traffic. I mean, you guys can just picture how that is. I turned on his radio show. They started talking about the Yankees from the first time he got on that show until I got in the car after I went to about 6 or 7 schools. They were talking about the same subject. So I think that's what happens with the draft, and people keep going back and they keep looking at the insider and they keep looking at ESPN. They keep reading the articles to see what's going on. So it's crazy. It's a crazy time of year.
Other than giving us more time to talk about it, does moving the draft back a couple of weeks have much of an impact on what you guys are doing?
I think Doug has done a good job and tried to keep it as the same type of mindset, the same type of work areas of how far out we're doing our readings up into the draft. Doug has handled all that.
From the other end, though, after the draft, I mean, is it condensed what you do workout-wise and minicamp-wise?
Same as before. I think, what's tough for us is, the challenge for us is the rookie minicamp. I talked to Scott about it when we put it out. I'm not a believer in trying to bring a bunch of people in just to be able to have a camp. We have 75 players here already. We don't have that many that are eligible for rookie camp. So, we'll run it more like an individual practice. That's really one of the challenges.
Hey, Doug, have you finalized when you're going to go to Fisher yet?
What I've done is I actually have done like the first, 2 weeks. So I'm working on the schedule. I actually have the first, 2 weeks done for camp that I've done already. I'm looking to see how everything folds out. I'm waiting for the schedule to come out, which I think might be Wednesday or Thursday. I'm not sure of that. I think when that comes up and I can see the total, season of what we're doing and how we're doing things, I'll be able to put it together and then I'll be ready to roll.
The planned practices with Pittsburgh stand, is that still going to happen?
I'm planning on it going forward. I've talked to Coach Tomlin. He's excited about it. I think right now we're all waiting on the same thing, the schedule. I think
you're playing them in, I think it's August 17th, yeah. Maybe. Mm-hmm. So would you maybe go down a few days before that preseason game?
Absolutely, we will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll try to get that stuff, when we solidify those plans, we'll get them out right away. Yeah.
Coach, you talked about the clean slate that Mike Williams has here with the new team. How much are you looking forward to having a clean slate with him yourself, personally, after the way things ended at Syracuse?
Yeah, I mean, Mike and I talked about that in private conversations, and, you know, I feel great about it, and I'm sure Mike does too.